Take your Bibles and go with me this morning to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, I want to do a little bit of traveling in the Word of God this morning. It's not often that I have the opportunity to preach on a July 4th or to be able to share things related to America. And so I want to preface my message this morning with an analogy from ye old football season, all right? And I see Heath right down here to my left, and there might be a time or two where he's football coach, because of his size and because of his role on the football team as a running back, where the coach might say something like this: Heath, you better tighten the chin strap. And what they're trying to imply is you better make sure that helmet's on tight. You better make sure you're ready to take the hit and be ready for what is about to come. And so spiritually this morning, I would tell you, you better tighten the chin strap. This will not be a popular message. This will not be the happy-go-lucky, make everybody feel good in America message this morning. But I believe that we have an answer from this book, and the answer is very, very needed in our country today. As many of you already know, I've not made too many public statements about the current status of America. I've not been on social media. I'm not on social media and Facebook and Instagram and doing different blogs and everything like this. I'm not trying to persuade any followers that I have to get their thinking in line with me. I'm not even trying, and you'll laugh at this, I'm not even trying to be the most popular preacher in America. You say, Pastor, that's what you should be doing, all right? No, not even trying to be the most popular preacher in America. I believe that God has given me a specific assignment for right now. And I believe that assignment, as of today, is to shepherd a local congregation and to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. In saying that, I am a dual citizen. I have a passport as a citizen of the United States of America. I did not choose that. I was blessed to be born in this nation. But I also have a spiritual passport. And that spiritual passport is sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and it makes me a citizen of heaven. And as much as I love this nation, and as much as I am blessed to live in this nation, I recognize that I'm looking for a city. And that builder and maker is Almighty God. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that citizenship is far more important than any citizenship that you would have here on this earth. And so I asked myself, okay, what is wrong with America and everything that we face in recent days? What is the problem in America? People have asked me that question. It's been in the forefront of our thinking. I've been in untold Zoom meetings related to our Christian school, related to the recent decisions that have been made by our governor here in the state of Virginia, by our legislature in the Senate in the state of Virginia, and by the House of Delegates. I'm mindful of the many things that took effect on July the 1st and how they changed some things and then put in new laws and brought back other laws and so forth. Some are happy about some of those laws. Some are disappointed about those laws. Some of them will have an impact upon our school or will potentially have an impact upon our school. They will potentially have an impact on our church. There are Supreme Court rulings that have come down recently. Some of them have been quite surprising. Some of them have been quite disappointing. And so this is all going on in our nation right now. And you say, okay, Pastor, what are your thoughts? Over the course of the next 2.5 hours, I'm going to give you my thoughts as to what's going on in America today. All right? No, it won't take that long. But there are those that are asking, what is the problem in America? Let me go down through a list of things that I believe people are looking to as being the problem in America. There are those that would claim that it's the person in the White House. If we could just change the individual that's serving in the White House, then all in our nation would be better. There are those that would say it's the people running our Congress, the Senate, the House of Representatives. And if we could just change those that are serving in the Congress and the Senate, then our nation would be better. There are those that would say it's the race problem in our country. And if all races were just equal and treated fairly, then everything in our nation would be better. There are those that would say that it is our history And that is the problem. And if we could just repair and or erase all of our nation's history, that our nation would be better. There are those that would say that our borders are the problem. And if we could just remove all of the borders, then our nation would be better. There are those that would say that poverty is our problem. If we would just provide enough money and enough funding for everybody in the country, then our nation would be better. There are those that would say the system of capitalism is the problem. If we could just do away with capitalism, then everything in our nation would be better. There are those that would say we need more public education and even free preschool and free college. The lack of education in our nation is the problem. If we could just better educate, then our nation would be better. There are those that believe that the gun is to blame for all of our problems in America. And if we could just get rid of all the guns in our country, we would make our nation better. There are those that believe we have a problem in policing. If we could just get rid of all police, then our nation would be better. There are those that believe we have a climate change problem. And if we could just get a grasp on dealing with the climate, then our nation would be better. There are those that believe that we have a religious problem. If all religions would just get along and learn to coexist, then our nation would be better. There are those that believe that we must make everything politically correct. If everything were just politically correct and no one was possibly offended, then our nation would be better. There are those that believe that we need to change the Supreme Court. And if we just had more of this flavor or that flavor of justice, that our nation would be better. I just covered 14 things, but I think that they run the gamut, and I think they do a pretty good job of giving us an umbrella view of the myriad of issues where people say, now, if we fixed this, our nation would be better. Let me lay out a platform for what I'm going to share with you this morning. And perhaps you agree with what I'm about to say. Perhaps you do not agree with what I'm about to say. But it is my prayer that if you know Christ as your Savior, that you do agree with what I'm about to say. Number one, I believe in the inspiration of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments. That means that I believe that every word that we have in our Old Testament and in our New Testament has come to us directly from Almighty God. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God spake, and holy men of God were moved, and those men recorded for us an inspired book. And I believe that that book has been inspired, and I believe that we hold in our laps a faithful translation of that inspired word. It has been faithfully preserved. I believe that the Bible applies to all people in all places at all times. Again, let me say that. Let me repeat that. I believe that the Bible all people in all places at all times. And I believe that the Bible tells us exactly why we are having problems in America. I believe that Satan wants to destroy any nation or people that would desire a biblical foundation for its existence and history. Now, as a side note, I won't take time here, but as a side note, Almighty God, Jehovah and Jesus Christ are interwoven in all of our founding documents and in so much of the marble that is here in Washington, D.C. and around the country. Our Creator is interwoven with our Constitution and all of our founding documents. Our Creator, Almighty God, played a part, a significant part, a vital part in the founding of this nation. There's never been a nation that's been founded such as this one on the true and living God and on the true and living Word. And so this morning I would ask a number of different questions to seek to get to the bottom of the problems in America. Now I listed out 14 things that will perhaps be in a party platform or perhaps a candidate's speech, and he'll go down through one or more of these things and detail for you why he or she believes that's the route that should be taken in order to repair the problems in America. But I'm going to give you a number of things this morning that I believe will actually make a difference in our nation. And to the extent that we as believers act upon what I'm going to ask this morning, I believe that we can have an impact on the direction of the United States of America. Number one, would you notice with me this morning, here from Psalm 33 in verse number 12, I ask this question. Who is the God in America? If we're really going to get to the problems in America, then we have to go to the Word of God and find out what the Word of God says about nations. Because this book applies to all people in all places at all times. And the very first question that we ask ourselves is this question: who is the God in America? Look with me, if you would, at Psalm 33 and verse number 12. Here is the statement that Almighty God made. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We begin right there, and I ask America, who is your God? You see, the Word of God tells us that if our nation adheres to Jehovah and the Lord Jesus Christ and His book, then we will be blessed. But if there's any other God that's in control or directing the nature of our nation, then can I say to you this morning that we're in trouble? You see, in America today, we have all kinds of gods. We have the gods of religion. And when I say that, I say little G-O-D-S. We have the gods of religion, and man-made religion has come up with all kinds of formats for what their God looks like and the number of their gods and who they bow to and who they worship and who they pray to. We have the gods of religion. We have the gods of humanism. Man is the focus of everything. Man is the core of everything. Man is the pinnacle of everything. The gods of humanism. We have the gods of secularism. We want to drive out religion as much as we possibly can. We don't want anything stated that would drive man to a religious viewpoint. We want to drive it all to secularism. We have the gods of hedonism. Man is just there to provide for himself and to make sure he has a good life. And that make sure he has a fun life. America has gods. But the Bible says the nation that would be blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that is Jehovah. Again, my friend, would you understand that we do not have a monopoly on this? I hear at different times as I travel to mission fields and interact with missionaries that a recurring phraseology that might occur on the mission field is for the people that are on that mission field to say, well, we don't want America's religion. My friend, long before America came into existence, God was on the throne. And to the extent that any nation would make God, Jehovah, their God, they can experience the blessings of Psalm 33 and verse number 12. To the extent that we allow all these other gods to surpass Jehovah and have the place of preeminence, my friend, we are in trouble. Number one, who is the God in America? You want to get to the heart of the problem in America today? Let's get to the matter of who is the God of America. If it's Jehovah, we will be blessed. If it's anyone else, we're in great trouble. I believe that we have many gods in our country, and none of them are the true God. Jehovah, Jesus Christ is His name. And that, my friend, is a real problem in America. Would you look at this second question with me this morning? We first of all start, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We ask ourselves, who is the God in America? Number two, would you notice the second question? Who is righteous in America? Who is righteous in America? Would you take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter number 14? Proverbs chapter 14. Again, a verse that you're familiar with. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34. We ask ourselves a second question. Who is righteous in America? Proverbs 14, verse number 34, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Again, as I stated in the outset, I believe that the Bible applies to all people in all places at all times. I believe that if our God, if Jehovah is our God, that our nation will be blessed. If we allow other gods to take the place of Jehovah, then we are in great trouble. And that is a real problem in America. The second matter is, who is righteous in America? The Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation. Now, if I were to go around and ask people in the United States of America this morning, if they were righteous, no doubt I'd have many that would kind of take their thumbs and put it under their lapels and say, why, yes, I am. And this is what they're doing. They're doing a comparison between themselves and their fellow man. But I'm not talking about self-righteousness this morning. I'm talking about being righteous in the eyes of Almighty God. And would you define it this morning and say, you know what? To the best of my ability, I am not perfect, but I am seeking to be in right standing with Almighty God. Because, my friend, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I believe that we have many in our nation that are self-righteous, but not biblically righteous. And that is a real problem in America. Number three, would you look at this one with me? Genesis chapter 1. Would you go back there with me? Genesis chapter number 1. All the way back at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, before there were nations, before there was a division of cultures and a division of languages and everything like this, we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, and we ask this question: where did we come from and how did we get here? Where did we come from and how did we get here? Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens. God created the earth. God made it all. And without Him was not anything made that was made. God made it all. I ask this question: who's the God of America? You see, if Jehovah's our God, we'll be blessed. I ask this question: are we righteous? Who is righteous in America? Not self-righteous, but biblically righteous. Because the Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation. But I ask a third question: where did we come from and how did we get here? My friend, the Word of God says we got here by the direct act of a special Creator. The Bible says that we are the product of an intelligent designer. I believe that so long as we're teaching and training up generations of young people to believe that they arrived by chance, they live by chance, and they die by chance, that we're going to get the product of individuals that act no differently than the animal world. Because in truth, that's what they're being taught. But my friend, you're a soul. Every man, woman, and child that's lived on this earth, that's been created by Almighty God, has an eternal soul that will live someplace forever. And that is true of everyone on every continent, in every culture, in every people group. They're all created by God and for His purpose. They are unique. They're wonderful. They're the special creation of Almighty God. And so long as we continue to teach that we've arrived by chance and that we have no real reason for being here, that we can live it up any way we want, and listen to this, and then one day go into eternity and never give an account for the way we've lived our lives, then my friend, you've got the real problem in America. Oh, that we'd go back to a time where we teach people that they're the special creation of Almighty God. The Bible says in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Every single human being is fearfully and wonderfully made. Pastor, I don't like everything about my body. Well, I understand. I think we can all agree on that. But the truth of the matter is that God made us all unique. And we are all special in His sight. God knows us by name. God values each and every single one of us. He has the very hairs of our head numbered. And by the way, young person, by the way, adult, know this. Remember thou thy Creator, because there will come a day where you will stand before that Creator and give an account for the life that you lived. Say, well, I want to do my own thing. Oh, you have that as an option. I want to go my own way. Oh, you have that as an option. But know thou this, that there will come a day that you will stand before Almighty God and give an account. Say, my parents don't know all that I've done that's wrong. My teachers don't know all that I've done that's wrong. My pastor, my youth pastor, my leadership, nobody knows all that I've been doing that's wrong. But God knows. And the eyes of God run to and fro over this whole earth, beholding the evil and the good. And my friend, you will give an account to an heavenly Creator one day. I believe our lack of teaching on how we actually got here is a real problem in America. Number one, who is the God in America? I think that's a real problem today. Number two, as we consider all these things, who is righteous in America? I believe that is a real problem. As we consider how we actually got here, I believe that is a real problem in America. Would you take your Bibles and go with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, one of the major prophets in the Old Testament, in the very opening of that chapter and of that book. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5, I believe we have a fourth question. What is the real value of life? What is the real value of life? In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Since Roe v. Wade, here in the United States of America, we have aborted over 60 million lives. 60 million lives. Say, Pastor, we have problems in America. Oh, I listed out the 14 things that we would listen to politicians and so forth, and everything that they would say is a problem in America. But I'm looking to the Bible, and I want to know what God says is a problem in America. You see, the Word of God holds life in a very precious way. And nine justices many years ago determined that it was okay to snuff out the life of a baby while it was in the womb. And if that's not enough to blow our minds, we currently have politicians that are saying that the baby can be born and then the doctors and parents can have a discussion as to whether or not the baby and its life will be snuffed out. I can't even believe that that's happening in a modern nation. The truth of the matter is that these concepts of the original thoughts of abortion are being outpaced by technology. And so for all these years, they've just said, well, it's just an appendage. It's just a piece of skin. It's just like having a tooth pulled. It's just this or that. And the baby cannot feel any pain. And now earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier, they're discerning what that baby can really understand. And we actually have grown adults that have been put into elected positions
That debate as to whether or not it's a life. When earlier and earlier and earlier, that baby is actually surviving outside the womb. Technology is outpacing their argument. Again, did you hear me? Over 60 million babies have been taken. Those lives have been taken. And that, my friend, is cold-blooded murder. Now let's take it a step further. The Supreme Court makes the law, or doesn't make the law, but allows for the law, Roe v. Wade, and abortion and so forth. We take it a step further. Modern day politicians are now trying to tell us that now the individual should be born, and if necessary, they'll then have a discussion as to whether or not the baby will survive. Now we're outside of the womb. And that same group of individuals sitting right here on our Capitol Hill steps in the House and the Senate gives over $500 million a year to one of the most racist organizations that is actually in play, and it's called Planned Parenthood. My friend, this is what's really wrong with America. If you want to begin to get to the heart of the matter, it's how we treat life. 60 million babies and counting. And Planned Parenthood puts a pretty face on it and says, we're here for women's health and women's choice. And they're in all kinds of neighborhoods of all different colors of people, taking out baby after baby after baby. And I declare this morning, as is well known, that its founder and everyone connected to it has done its very best to snuff out lives. And in the vast majority of those abortions, they've been abortions of minority kids. Pastor, that sounds really harsh. I mean, they're doing so much good in women's health and so forth. My friend, I want women to have proper health care. But I don't believe that proper health care should overstep the life that has been formed in their womb. If we really want to get to the heart of the problem in America, we go to our accountability in this matter of the value of life. And by the way, here's exactly what you're seeing now. They have so accustomed us to cheapening life on the front side that now life on the other side is not that big of a deal anymore either. It's not a big deal until it's your life. And here's how they've begun to twist the wording. Now they're saying it's only a good pregnancy when it's a valued pregnancy. Or it's a wanted pregnancy. But what happens to that baby that's born with Down syndrome? And parents don't believe that life has any value. I've watched untold kids in different commercials and so forth for St. Jude's Hospital and the work that St. Jude's is doing with so many young people that are born with difficult health situations. They say, oh, there's no value in that life. I mean, that child will live their life out in a wheelchair. There's no value in that life. And what happens when you reach 80 and 90 years old and your kids have bought into this system that you got here by chance and you're going to go into eternity and it really doesn't matter what they do with you. And so you get put away and nobody cares anymore. And now your life is not valuable. Do you understand, my friend, that the Bible says there's value in life, in every life? And Almighty God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the womb, I had a plan for you. I had something that I wanted you to accomplish and to have play out in your life. I've got a challenge that's set before you. And every single person sitting before me in this auditorium is a special creation of Almighty God, been created by the direct act of God for a purpose. You begin to interact with kids in which their parents were told that the best thing they could do is have an abortion. And the mom and dad said, no, we're not going to do that. And then you begin to meet those kids and see all that God has done with their life. You see, I mentioned 14 things that politicians will say are the real problems in America. But this is what God says is the problem in America. Number 5. Where is God's design for marriage really lived out in our country today? If you take your Bibles and go with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. See, we'd have common ground with every political stripe. We'd have common ground with every race, color, and creed if we just asked this question or made this statement or asked this question, does America have problems? Oh, we'd have universal agreement that we've got problems. But I believe we have to go to the Word of God to find the solution for those problems. Matthew chapter 19 lays out for us another issue. Where is God's design for marriage really lived out in our country today? Look at verse number 4 through 6. Jesus, this is Jesus speaking. He answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God joined together, let not man put asunder. Just about every problem in our nation and in our society has a root breakdown in the home. It starts with the individual that is linked up with another individual, and they are now husband and wife. And when there's a breakdown in the husband-wife relationship, it affects the home. And when it affects the home, it affects society. Divorce and fatherless homes, living together outside of marriage, and the list could go on and on and on and on. I fear for these young people that are being brought up in this LGBTQRS community. I saw yesterday, it's the first time I've seen this, and maybe they've been out for a little while, but it's the first time I've seen it. A young person is on a bed, and he's texting some random person. I think it's some kind of like hotline that they can text when they don't have anybody else to talk to. And the conversation, I think, I didn't see the entirety of the context, but I think it's about a young person that doesn't know what they are. You know, that's not funny. That's sad. That a boy or girl reaches their teen years, their young adult years, and they still are in such anxiety over what they are and whether or not they're really special. That's sad. How does this happen? When you and I go to Matthew chapter 19 and we read verses 4 through 6, you tell me right now, is this being lived out in America today? We almost get in and out of marriages today like we used to get in and out of boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. Will you marry me? Yes. Check yes or no. Yes. Will you divorce me? Check yes or no. And please do not misunderstand. Divorce has taken a toll on many, many families. You cannot go back and change what is in the past. But from this day forward, you can seek to honor God in your current situation. You can be the husband that God would have you to be. You can be the wife that God would have you to be. You can be the parent that God would have you to be. You say, are these the problems in America? No! What does the Bible say is the problem in America? It goes right there to the home. And I'm not asking for you to fix everyone's home in your neighborhood. I'm asking about your home. You see, we like to say, or we'd like to think that as a Christian society, we've been protected. But you know what? The same stats that are true in secular homes are almost identical in so-called Christian homes. That, my friend, is a real problem in America. Let me give one more this morning. Number six. We're dealing with real problems in America. America, who's your God? If it's not Jehovah, we have a real problem. As you and I talk down through these things, we think of life, we think of creation. When we think of these matters, righteousness, when we think of all these items, if it's not according to the Word of God, then my friend, we have a real problem. And we will never have a solution from some secular entity or some secular PhD. The solution will only come from this book. Here's the last one. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. I want you to read this verse with me again. Many of you probably have it memorized. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7, and verse number 14. America, who's your God? If it's not Jehovah, it's a real problem. America, who's really righteous? If it's not biblical righteousness, we've got a real problem. America, how did you get here? If it's anything beyond being created by a special designer, then there's a real problem. America, do you value life? If not, we've got a real problem. America, what's your home look like? If it's a mess, we've got a real problem. America, to FBT this morning, I ask this question, where are God's people? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, look at what the Bible says. Again, many of you may have it memorized. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. They sang just a few moments ago, Lord, turn the tide. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want to ask each of us as Christians, what kind of time have we invested to really pray and humble ourselves? What kind of time have we really invested, as the Bible says, to seek God's face? What kind of time have we really invested here when it says we've turned from our wicked ways? Again, that's a verse not to the ungodly, but to believers. You know, when I read that verse, that's a dagger of conviction in my own life, because I am very swift at jumping all over the wickedness that's in our world today and coddling the wickedness that's in my own heart. Oh, I'm real good at jumping all over husbands that are not doing right by their wives. But then when I look internally and say, okay, Todd, how are you caring for your spouse? Oh, I'm real good at jumping all over fathers that are not there in their home and doing what they ought to do for their children. But what about me? In directing in the life of our sons. Am I humbling myself? Am I going before Almighty God and saying, God, start the work right here in me? Oh, it's really a great plan for us to say, God, just judge our nation and get rid of all the wickedness at once. Meanwhile, we're protecting what we know that we're doing that is not right in the eyes of God. This is a real problem in America. In closing this morning, Let me rapidly give you seven things that I believe every single... You say, okay, Pastor, I agree with what you said. I agree with the six things that you've given as the real problem in America. I agree. Okay, here's seven things that you and I can do. Number one, confess our sins to Almighty God and seek to do right in every situation by your fellow man. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. And with the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, you can be exactly what God wants you to be. And I am not coming before Almighty God and saying, God, forgive the sins of my sons, forgive the sins of my father, forgive the sins of my great-grandfathers. I'm coming right here and I'm saying, okay, Lord, what have I not done that I should have done that would have been pleasing in your sight? I want to humble myself. And I want to turn from my wicked ways. And I want to seek to do right by my fellow man in every single situation. You see, understand this, my friend, that these people that you're encountering day after day after day after day don't just represent another person. It represents a soul that's going to spend an eternity somewhere. And we have an obligation. Number two, be a husband to your wife. Wife, do right by your husband. It's very simple. Husbands, do right by your wives. Wives, do right by your husbands. If we changed the nature of homes in America today, it would change our society a lot quicker than we think. But again, I'm not asking for secular homes to be changed. I'm looking right here at Christian homes, and I'm saying, what does your Christian home look like? Number three, be a father and mother to your children and not their friend. We need more parents that will step up to the plate and follow the God-given admonitions and be a parent to their children and not their best friend. Number four, and this one, again, tighten the chin strap. Here it goes. As a believer, stop voting according to a political party and start voting according to the Bible. Well, I was raised in this political party and I'll die in this political party. By God's grace, I've become more than a political party. I've become a Christian saved by grace. And when I vote on the six things that I just shared with you this morning because I believe that's the real problem in America. Pastor, haven't you ever gone to the polling place because you're just sick of the high price of gas? Not one time have I ever voted because the candidate that I was voting for said that they'll lower the price of my gasoline. But I have gone to the polling place and voted because a candidate said I will do all that I can to protect life. As believers, we must stop adhering because, well, that's the political party of my family, or that's the political party that I'm most affiliated with, or that's what's popular in my area. As a Bible-believing Christian, we must vote according to the Word of God. The next one. Don't try to win the country to your point of view. Just try to win your neighbor to Christ. Oh, if I could just convince everybody. If I could just get more followers and more friends and have the best argument out there. You know what? We're going to spend so much time in social media. And at the same time, the person right next door to us could have heard of Jesus Christ. And I cannot change the nature of our country as a whole, but I can change the nature of one person at a time by giving them the Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, live your life for the King. Christian, would you realize this, that you're actually a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And listen to this, there is no higher calling. All the stuff that we do in life is actually secondary to what our calling actually is. And that calling is being a servant of Jesus. Oh, Pastor, I do these things, but I'm a servant of Christ. I participate in this, but I'm a servant of Christ. Everywhere you go, you should be carrying the banner, I'm a servant of the Most High God. I serve the King of Kings. And then the last one, and boy, this is good. And if you haven't liked anything else in the message this morning, you'll like this one. You ready? Be ready for the Lord's return. And to that I say, amen. Say, when will all of this be solved? Well, it's going to temporarily be solved for us as believers because Christ is going to come in the rapture and he's going to call us home. I hope you're ready for that. It could be before we're able to meet again together. And I do pray that we as Christians have our eyes in the sky. Last night I heard all kinds of rumbling and we're not far from the Manassas airport. And so I didn't know if they were taking off from there or just circling around there or what was going on. But as I heard all the rumbling, I kept getting up and I go outside and I'm looking in the skies and my neighbors probably thought I was a little bit crazy. But I heard it and didn't see it. But somewhere up in the skies, there was a great rumble. There were planes passing over. It was something. But my friend, I've got my eye in the sky for a different thing altogether. One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to split that sky wide open. He's going to call his children home. And for us, it will be temporarily solved. But then my friend, Jesus Christ is going to come back and for 1,000 years, he's going to reign supreme. And at the end of that 1,000 years, the Bible says Jesus Christ will take Satan by the old nape of the neck and cast him into the lake of fire. And my friend, it's almost over. Jesus is coming back. And if you're depressed and you're discouraged and you're downtrodden because of what you've seen in the latest news and the latest tidbit here, know this, Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus has power to elevate an individual and he has power to put an individual down. He will return to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus will reign. Over here, we have a bunch of people that are saying what's wrong with America. But over here, the Bible tells us the real problem. Now, what will you and I as believers do about the real problem? Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for the opportunity to speak this morning. Thank you for the folks and for their participation here on campus. I thank you for the many that are watching online. We do pray your hand of blessing upon each one as we consider the real problem in America. Oh, I listed out a lot of things that people would claim to be the real problem. But when we go to the Word of God and we seek to line up our country with what the Word of God says would be a country that would be blessed, we find that we are vastly different from what we once were. And I pray as a U.S. citizen, Lord, that you'd be merciful to us. That you would help us as believers to humble ourselves and to turn from our wicked ways. Lord, that we as husbands and wives do what you'd have us to do, that our homes would reflect heaven, that we'd be more concerned about our neighbor's salvation than we are about our neighbor's friend request. Dear Lord, help us to bring more into the kingdom, more into the family of God before it is eternally too late. And I pray that you'd help us as a church to do right by our fellow man, to be looking for ways to reach out to different cultures and different people groups and different language groups and help them all to be reached with the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And we have the opportunity to bear that message near and far away. Would you help FBT to be salt and light in this world, I pray. Many are telling us what the real problem is in America, but the Bible shows us very clearly. May we as believers do what we ought to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.